He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. I cannot remember ever being led to this text in my preaching days. Therefore, I do hope there's a divine purpose. Lord, might in mercy favor us this evening for a few moments to enter into the banqueting house. For I can assure you, friends, there's no place like it. There's no place like it here upon this earth. You can have all the comforts, all the consolations of this world, but there's nothing to be compared to the house of wine, the banqueting house. And a solemn thing it is, if we live and die in this life and have no knowledge, no sips, no blessings of the banqueting house, we should be lost eternally. And what a solemn thing it would be when your eye strings broke in death and you knew nothing spiritually of the banqueting house. Are you amongst those who do hope and sincerely desire the Lord would lead you from time to time to that sacred, blessed place, the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you prayed the prayer of the hymn writer, "I creep beside him like a worm and see him bleed for me"? Here's a desire, a gracious desire, and I believe this desire will be granted, and you'll be led into this sweet place to nestle your troubled heart, to nestle your longing soul in the breasts of the Beloved, the dear Redeemer. The experience of the spouse in the opening of this Song of Solomon, what a sweet experience, what a longing desire, what a precious place for a poor sinner to be found in. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. This, the spouse, was acquainted with love divine, was acquainted with the dear Redeemer. She was, I believe, one who knew not only, as we read further down, her blackness, her vileness, but she had heard, received by living faith, of the beauties that reside in the precious blood of the dear Redeemer. Jesus, thy blood in righteousness. What is it, friend, to the spouse? What is it? Why, it's beauty. It's clothing. It's a covering which Satan can never penetrate. It's holy and it's pure. Therefore, is there one here this evening who'd entered through the door there with somewhat the same language? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. I can say, friends, and assure you that you will be enabled, may not be this evening, to know what it is to enter in to this banqueting house. And you come seeking the favor and the blessing of God, which he has designed for your people, again in the first chapter. Draw me. It comes to me, doesn't it? It comes to the individual. It is a blessing to know the whole church was washed and cleansed in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it comes to me, the individual, you and me. One may be saying, no, what if my name should be left out? It causes you soul anxiety, causes you soul trouble, and you have to enter into this path. Draw me. Yes, Lord, draw me. Draw my heart. Draw my affections. And you might say this: if there's any love, Lord, toward thee, draw my love. You may feel now perhaps cold and barren, empty and hungry. If there's any love in me, Lord, draw it out. And I believe the Lord Jesus does draw his people. We sometimes sing, Jesus draws. Yes, he draws his chosen race. And who are they? They who say, Lord, Lord Jesus, draw me, and we will run after thee. Therefore, as we are enabled by the grace of God, by living faith, to lay hold of these things, I believe he will bring us from time to time into the banqueting house. For what and how the Lord, the bridegroom, speaks and wonderfully sets forth his loving bride in this chapter. We haven't time to go through it, but doubtless each one of you know it well. But the bride is brought to this place where she is enabled to sit beneath the shadow with great delight. His shadow, the shadow of the bridegroom, an apple tree, may not be the greatest tree of the wood. It is not the greatest tree of the wood, but a tree where fruit is found. Yes, there may be cedars growing in the wood. Those cedars, they soar above the apple tree. They look majestic. They look strong, but they provide no fruit. They are no good until they are cut down to be used. But in the apple tree, or upon the apple tree, there is a provision. And the spouse here likens her Jesus, her bridegroom, unto the apple tree. Not only for shade, but for fruit. Friend, have you sat down under his shadow, or in his shadow? Has it been a delight to your soul? There's been a little rest here upon this earth. We sang last evening, we have no abiding city here? No. But there are those places, those spots, those oases, where the poor pilgrim is enabled to sit down is led by the Spirit in the shade of the apple tree and to eat of the fruits of righteousness. Have you had a taste? Have you had a taste? A taste of the love of a loving Jesus. While you've been lifted above self, lifted above sin, lifted above the powers of this earth, and you've tasted the Lord be gracious. So I tell you what it is. It's free grace. And if free grace, why not for you? Why not for you? Oh, you may be saying, this is for the Lord's people. This free grace are for those whom he has chosen. And I don't feel like one of these people. I feel so poor. I feel my poverty. I feel my sinfulness. You may feel these things. I tell you something else, friends. The world doesn't feel it. The children of the God of this world, they don't feel it. They're goody-goodies. They feel their ability. They feel their power. But one day, that ability, that goodness, and that power will have been no use. Just be swallowed up and be nothing. What a mercy it is then if you are brought to feel a poor sinner, looking unto Jesus and seeking from him these blessed realities that he is unto his church. Therefore, as the dear spouse was enabled to sit under his shadow with great delight, tis a delight to indeed. Tis a delight. We read in the prophet Isaiah of how the spouse there knew what this dear Redeemer was as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Yes, a great rock in a weary land. And there in that shadow, there in that reviving power, the Lord breathes upon his people. They can breathe in a different air. A different air. Have you breathed it in? Maybe you've been tossed about, you've been troubled, there's been storms, those anxious times, disappointments. You come just where the psalmist was, you were brought low. But what could he say? When he was brought low, haven't some of you been brought low? Did the Lord leave you there? In that low state? No. I was brought low, and the Lord helped me, lifted me up. And I believe this is as the springs from time to time enters into this shadow and tastes of the fruit of righteousness. But there's a leading on. There's a leading on. You know, our bodies, as we journey on in this wilderness walk, it's a 12 months since we last gathered together in this place. We are all a 12 months older. Some of the young people may not feel much different. But some of the older ones, They know the toll of a year. They know a failing body. Eyesight fails. Hearing fails. Power of the body fails. It all testifies that we are poor failing creatures, day by day. But as the Lord leads, a living soul, a longing soul, then that soul grows in grace and in the knowledge of the dear Redeemer. And as that soul grows in grace, then I believe our text takes us the growth. For there is a going forth from the apple tree. There's a going forth from the shadow into the banqueting house. Into the banqueting house. Do you know there's a door there? A door into that banqueting house. And if we've had a taste of this heavenly wine, then we've been led by the Holy Spirit to know that door. There may be someone knocking this evening. There may be a beggar poor at mercy's door. To enter into this banqueting house, to sit, to eat, to drink the pleasures of the gospel of God's grace. The Lord has said, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Yes, this is the way into the banqueting house. And that door is no less than God's beloved Son, the heavenly conqueror, that divine warrior, our Lord Jesus Christ. He who has broken down that middle wall of partition. He who has made a way where there was no way. And he who draws his lungs into this blessed place, the banqueting house. And oh, as the sinner is brought to enter in through that door, what beauty there is. What beauty to be seen is a heavenly place. I believe I said it last evening, and maybe on the Lord's Day, if we know no heavenly places this side of the grave, we shall know no heaven lost. But I believe for you and for me, I hope there are heavenly places. I hope you've had a heavenly place. Why, your willing soul has been taken up with no less than love divine, than a precious Jesus. Your eyes have been centered, the eye of faith, on him, of whom one said, my soul loveth. And they are friends of the heavenly place. I would we might be favored more with them. I know, I hope, I can speak here of living experience. There's nothing to be compared with a heavenly place. The comforts and the spiritual knowledge of the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, these, I believe, banqueting, the touch of these banqueting houses, or house rather, is a heavenly place. And if you then have had a sip, you've had a taste, then you'll want more and more. Not like, as I said, the natural body, the faculties of the body, they fail one after another. But the soul, that living soul, why does not fail, that living soul may feel sometimes their unworthiness, their frailty, but this alters not. Alters not the divine will and power of God. And as the Lord graciously leads, then his spouse into the banqueting house, then they see the beauty and the majesty of one who has drawn them. He fills, friends. He fills the banqueting house. Yes, I believe our dear friends, the servants of God here this evening will agree with me. It is our desire that we might preach a precious Jesus that fills the banqueting house. He's all in all. Yes, he fills it. His beauty, his loveliness, his wonders. Why, we read of those apples of gold in pictures of silver. Why, to the soul, that soul to whom the word of God is blessed, then the banqueting house is paved, is surrounded, is, as I might say, if you understand me, pictured as apples of gold and pictures of silver. There the word is made manifest. There the saving power of the word is opened up. And this banqueting house then, why, the place of safety. One said, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me shelter myself in thee. That's the banqueting house, where the soul is safe, safe for time, and safe for eternity. And in this very way, then, there are these, not only the stout walls, not only it is paved with love and grace, but oh, it is furnished. There's a table there, a table there. Dear David said, the Lord has set a table before him in the presence of his enemies. Has the Lord the Holy Spirit, friends, as the gospel has been preached unto you, has he drawn you up to his table? Have you been able to sit then in his delight and to partake of that heavenly fruit? Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Yes, people have tried to alter that. Some have tried to bring in the poor wafers. Some have tried to stamp upon it. Some have tried to cause worms to breed in it. But the child of God, I believe, prays for it. The child of God, the spouse, I believe, is nurtured and fed with it. And there's a breaking of the bread of life in this banqueting house. As the Lord, the Holy Spirit, then, as the servants of God have stood where I'm standing now, as the bread of life being broken, why, Jesus has become yours. You become his. You've felt the union and communion. You've tasted a little of the wonders of love. Ah, you've had to say, why did Jesus show to me the beauties of his face? Why did he, friend? Because he loved you, that's what it was. Because he loved you. And as you taste, as the bread of life is broken, as the gospel is preached, then your soul is nurtured and so lovingly fed with such heavenly food. Yes, and in this banqueting house, we see in the margin is also a house of wine, a house of love. Yes, a house of wine, a house of love. Friend, what it cost, this dear Son of God, what it cost, this precious Saviour, that you might sip of the wine of God's love. What a favored people you are. Those of you who've tasted, who've sipped on the cup of salvation, whoever envied David, those blessed, wondrous things have you envied. And you may have tasted, I hope you have. You may have been in some circumstance, some trying path of life, when you feel so cold, so pained, so forlorn, you feel left, you wonder where the scene will end. You've read the 23rd Psalm, you've ended that, dear man, with a spiritual right envy, when he said, "My cup runneth over." Has the Lord left you there? Left you with an empty cup? No. No. Take encouragement, friend, who may feel this evening they have an empty cup. Oh, you may be saying it's a long, long time since the Lord appeared. It's a long, long time since the Lord kissed me. It's a long, long time since the Lord shed his love upon me. It's a long, long time since I could join in with the people spiritually, wholeheartedly, and sing, "O love divine, O love excelling." Is his mercy clean, God? Is it clean, God? Whom the Lord loves, he never leaves. Therefore, you may be, as you read the 23rd Psalm, you may come to that word, "My cup runneth over." The eye of faith, let it go up. Lord, give me to sip from that cup. Fill me, O Lord, fill me with love divine, and favor me, that I might grow in grace and in the knowledge of thy dear Son. He will come. Yes, he will come. He may be tiring tonight, friends. Some of our dear elderly friends, I believe, know what it is for him to tarry. But he hasn't tarried. It's been too late, has he? He hasn't tarried. It's been too late. He's come in that appointed time. And he's filled the cup. You've drank. And as you've drank, you've felt the goodness, the saving power, the delivering mercy, and the wonders of a gracious God. And as you felt these things, then you've enabled to lay hold by living faith of God's dear Son, your beloved, the precious one, and you've laid hold upon him. Well, you felt then that wine so strengthening you. I can do all things then through Christ that strengthens me. When that wine is poured in, the heavenly love of God, is there one before me this evening with a stumbling block? One at a stall? One who is looking at a river? may be a ditch, an impossibility. Why, let the Holy Spirit favour you with the wine of God's love. Then you can do all things. The dear hymn writer said, venture on him, thou canst not fail. And when the Lord is pleased to pour in the wine of his love and the wine of his strength, there's a venturing on him, on Christ Jesus. Might well the spouse speak well of this banqueting house. There's all, friends, that you will need, all that you shall need, in a precious Jesus. I feel I do wish I could speak better of him. Our friends who were with us on the Lord's day and last night will remember our text was, both days, looking unto Jesus. And it's the same gospel, the same grace, the same divine love the sinner looks through as they looked unto precious Jesus. He brought me to the banqueting house. It wasn't your power, not your power, no. But you were made willing in the day of his power, made willing. Oh, to be child of God is to be an heir of heaven. Think on these things. Any who may be careless this evening, indifferent concerning the things of God, no banqueting house, no heaven, no heaven. As you've heard say many, many times, heaven begins here, friends. Heaven begins here. If we had not a sip of heavenly wine upon this earth, we should know nothing of the fullness of heaven. Therefore, this banqueting house is to be looked for, longed for, sought after. And I believe one the Lord Jesus Christ draws. One who cries out, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. They won't be satisfied outside. They won't be satisfied outside. There are many today, and we should pray for them. We should pray for them, poor things, we might call them, who are putting ladders up to this banqueting house. They are. Ladders of good works. Ladders of creature ability. Ladders of knowledge. But they won't gain, friends. They cannot gain the ladder to break down. They'll tumble over and they'll land that one into a worse place than they were before. As I said, then there's only one way, that is through that open door. And there's a banner we read over the banqueting house. A banner over the church, a banner over the Lord's people, and his banner over me was L-O-V-E. What a banner. What a banner. What strength. What love. Love. Banner. Yes, the enemy may come in like a flood. The enemy may surround this banqueting house like a flood. But the Lord is a banner. And what a mercy it is if we, as we journey on in life's journey, we are sheltered with this banner. The child of God, pilgrims and strangers, as they may feel here upon this earth, they are covered, they are surrounded by this banner of love. And that principle, that sacred place, that soul saved, washed by the precious blood of Christ, Satan cannot touch, you know. Touched dear old Joe's body, didn't he? And it hurt him. He had to cry out because of the pain and the loss. But he couldn't touch his soul. Saved soul, an upright one. And as that saved soul was sheltered beneath a banner. And you may, as you're journeying along life's journey, there may be many a fiery dart. Yes, some of us know what it is to have fiery darts. Blows from sinners and from saints. I know which hurts most. I know which cuts deeper. Blows from sinners and from saints. But that one who is sheltering beneath this heavenly banner, why, those blows, they cannot, friends, alter the safekeeping love of God. They cannot alter that elect one, that one whom the Lord Jesus Christ has saved. Therefore, we sometimes say of those who have departed, and our loved ones, and some of you can view now, I hope, your loved ones in heaven. They may be more happy, but they're not more secure. Why? Because they have a banner over them. They are protected. Look at the 121 Psalm. The Lord is thy keeper, thy shade upon thy right hand. And a beautiful hymn, I believe we had it on the Lord's Day. Christ is the keeper of his saints. What a beautiful knowledge. Yes, friend, you are kept by love, helped along by love, instructed by love. It's love first, love all the way through, and love will not fail. When you are brought last to heaven, it will be one eternal song unto him that loved you, washed you, cleansed you from all your sins. The chorus will be glory, dominion, power, forever and ever. Jerusalem, my happy home, name ever dear to me, when shall my labors have an end, in peace, in joy, yes, with thee. Banner over me was love. Therefore, as I said, how safe are the saints whilst here below, safe when they come to die. Because the outstretched arm of the loved Redeemer, he will take them through Jordan. Yes, take them through Jordan. refuse. The fear of death then will be taken away. You have been, as I've been, beside many a dying bed. And that person may have been troubled over death. Well, I said to a person not so long ago, she was nearing her last moments. And oh, she felt such darkness, trouble. Did she know the beloved? Was she? Did she belong to the Church of God? I looked at her and I said, friend, your God, my God, he'll give dying grace in a dying moment. And you know, it wasn't many hours before the Lord took her. He didn't take her moaning. He didn't take her troubled. For as he took her, and it was somewhat unexpected for a few hours, her arms went off. Hallelujah! Dying grace in a dying moment. Why? The banner over her was love. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love.
Let us end our evening service by singing hymn number 994. June 10th, 34. From sin, dark, thorny maze, to Cain's fertile plain, a travelling fair one in distress on her beloved Eve. 994.
Draw.